Okay, if we're saying that like stories are supposed to be like catalysts for change or whatever, one of the things that I think runs into like a block then with what we're like looking at is that the interviewer, and we said this when we were like listening to him, that there were opportunities where he could have asked for more storytelling, but he failed to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So when, like, we especially talked about when that one woman brought up like, oh, we marched in the 60s, and then he just moved on to the next question. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have been really, I would have seen that as very like sparking something up to like say like, why did you march in the 60s, and like, why are you marching now, and why was there such a big time span between those, and like, tell us that story.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I feel like almost a lack if we go with that.
And so, yeah. But we don't necessarily, we can pull from our analysis, right? So if part of our analysis is that the interview questions, like, we're coming clean in our analysis. One of the things that I'll cite for you from Opening Spaces is that feminist researchers come clean, mm-hmm. and they say, these were our limitations, these were our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So we would say, we broke code in these places, look at our notes. These were our limitations in our research process. We didn't write the questions. We didn't conduct the interviews. These are the breakdowns. And if we had had control over this aspect of the project, we would have done it in this way, right? So, like, we would have asked those women who said they marched in the 60s, tell us more about that story. And our questions might have been less of a, tell me this really quick, tell me this really quick, tell me this really quick, and more of a storytelling aspect, right? Because when you have control as a qualitative researcher over your interview questions, then you're able to ask those questions in a storied way, right? So I might, instead of walking up to someone and saying, why are you marching today? I might have asked the question differently, and I might have said, could you tell me a little bit about your sign? I see that your sign says, all women deserve free healthcare. Did you have an experience where you needed free healthcare, or did someone that you know experience that? Can you tell me a little bit about the reason behind your sign? And that kind of a question opens up more of a storied answer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the impetus was for these questions. That wasn't what the archivists were after. And if we look at, we can talk about this in the method section too. We can talk about their archivist point of view and their collection process, because we have that available to us. We have the trainings they gave people. We have all the documents that they emailed out. We have their interview questions, and we can link to those as part of our process. And we can say, this is what, actually they're not public access because I got them emailed to me, but we can discuss them. We can link to anything that's public access. We can't link to anything that's not public access, but we can talk about it, and I can ask the person that's in charge if we're able to distribute that.
Mm-hmm.
But just closing limitations and then talking about how this can be done in the future, and like what we found and then what we might do after that can be a part of the article.
Okay.
And I think talking about those kinds of things, not just our limitations and not just like our blunders as we were interviewing, and there will be more blunders when we start doing our own interviews and telling our stories, there'll be differences between 2017 March versus 2019 March, who I went with versus who you went with, where we were coming from, what the weather was like, what the country was like, what kinds of historical activity, you know, so all those things get kind of folded in.
I think it's interesting, though, and that we kind of, I was thinking about how there's limitations because we couldn't ask the questions and things like mm-hmm. that, but it also supports the idea of this is how you work within an archive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the importance of having, of being able to like work within something that maybe you didn't collect, and then mm-hmm. that adds to the level of like the importance of archiving, that it is something that outsiders can come in
mm-hmm.
and make meaningful
mm-hmm.
research and discussion based on something that they didn't even mm-hmm. collect,
mm-hmm.
which adds, you know,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
another important thing to consider.
So, but then that means that we're talking about archives and not stories, which is okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be about stories.
I think that it's stories that are the catalyst for change, though.
So do we want to talk about the stories that archives tell?
Because don't archives kind of provide a collective story? Because,
mm-hmm.
like, that's kind of what we're going for here, mm-hmm. is that, like, here's the collective story of the 2017 Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can find that these are the recurring themes among this, like, story. Because, like, if this were an anthology of, like, short stories,
yep,
or whatever.
Same idea.
Yeah. You could just be like, wow, these all seem to contain a theme of unity. And that's, like,
yeah.
like why mm-hmm. they're all bound in the same book or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.